Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Co-Chair. Welcome to the STC Podcast. Every week, the STC Podcast presents important technical topics to the storage developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcasts. You are listening to STC Podcast, episode number 188.
I'd like to welcome you to the session. This is Open Industry Standard Management with SNEA Swordfish. The original presenter for this, Rochelle Alvers, was unable to make it, so I had to actually step in at the last minute and go ahead and do the slides. So remember, if you like this session, my name is Chris Linetti. If you didn't like this session, Rochelle Alvers. And with that, let's go ahead and start. This is the abstract directly cut from the agenda. You're all here now, so I assume that you've read this and you understand what we're going to be learning today. We're going to be learning a lot about the Swordfish API fundamentals. And again, you could read this on your own. No need to belabor the point on that one. Let's go ahead and jump into what is Redfish and Swordfish. DMTF Redfish covers a lot of different things. It covers servers, it covers data center, covers basic fabric management. It's the protocol that's highly successful in the market. All the servers in the industry are using it, and it's a REST API method to manage everyone's server. It uses JSON. There's YAML schemas out there. It's a very well-defined standard. What Swordfish is a small extension to the Redfish protocol that adds the ability to do more custom things that need to happen for enterprise storage. For instance, all servers have chassis, they have drives, they have power supplies. Why would Swordfish need to reinvent any of that? We're going to use what's in Redfish already. Redfish did a fine job of defining all that. So we're going to hijack and use the exact same terminology, the exact same methods, the exact same YAML to do the exact same things. The difference is Swordfish, we're going to add some concepts to deal with shared storage over fiber channel, shared storage in a bunch of different ways. And we're going to enhance it to be able to handle much larger things like storage pools that might have hundreds of volumes or namespaces carved out. So Swordfish is an extension to Redfish that covers a lot more use cases other than single storage or software-defined networking or software-defined storage. The goal here is that Swordfish will cover object storage, file storage, as well as block storage. And again, this is something that's proven with Redfish in the sense that Redfish can already manage all the servers out there. Now we're adding Swordfish capability to manage more complex environments. And in fact, things like classes of service, lines of service, data protection lines of service, those things are more easily covered in Swordfish, the extension to Redfish, than they are in the basic Redfish itself. NVMe, as an example, and NVMe OF have a natural fit in the Swordfish world. So we're doing a lot of work to make sure that NVMe OF is covered in Swordfish properly. So we've got, and again, there's a very tight-knit group between DMTF and SNEA. In other words, even though the DMTF owns the drive part, if we find something that's wrong or missing or needs to be updated, we'll actually throw that over the wall, and we've got people that are actually working in both groups. So there's a lot of commingling between those two groups to make sure these protocols stay in lockstep. So here's the basic Redfish hierarchy for Swordfish Advanced Storage. So you can see we've got the service route, we've got the collection resources, and in this case I've got storage as a collection resource. And you'll notice that under storage, we've got a singleton. For instance, we could have three different arrays out there, or could we have a single array? That single array may have a number of volumes, it may have a number of pools, it may have a number of controllers. So you can see that there's a lot of different things you could put under this. You could almost think of this like a file system. You keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into the model. But again, if you notice that storage also has links down to chassis, because a storage array controller or a storage system is going to be using chassis. But the chassis information is actually referenced under storage, your singleton under storage, but it doesn't actually need to live there. It actually lives under chassis. So again, if you want to look at all your chassis, you can go to the service route, go to chassis, and start walking down the tree and find all your chassis. Each of those chassis will probably reference the storage system they're connected to or the server they're connected to. So you can see this model has a lot of dotted lines that actually let you cross from different domains. And again, storage is the one we care most about because we're in the enterprise Swordfish storage business. But there's also a major collection resource called servers or systems. So systems might handle a HP ProLiant, a Dell PowerEdge, a various servers in the market might be under servers, but storage is where we like to think that Swordfish belongs. So Swordfish configurations, here's an example of what a simple external array looks like. Now I say simple because there's a lot of options. Don't get bogged down in all the options. This is what a standard array might look like. You've got a subsystem, you've got a service route, you've got a chassis, you've got storage. That storage has snapshots, it has volumes, it has drives, but you can see where everything lives underneath. And you can kind of get the ownership of all these things. Now again, the mockups that we've created for simple storage array don't necessarily have all the things on the left-hand side there. The telemetry service, the update service, the event services, but a real implementation likely would. And in fact, if you want to see how to implement event services, that's already in the default Redfish definitions. Easy to do. If you want to be able to do session services, you can actually implement tokens so that people can log into your system using a username and password, get a token back, and then all future commands are done with that token. So you have a user control. That would be done in session services. But a lot of these mockups don't have that stuff implemented directly. Because the mockup is really trying to show you what's different about Swordfish, not necessarily all the things that are the same. Because 90% of the stuff in Swordfish is the same as Redfish. Now, if we want to go to a simple external array, we're going to add a little mapping. Now, what I mean by that is you'll notice the difference between this one and this one. I've added fabrics. Because now, instead of going with an array that lives inside of a server or a dedicated array, I've now gone to an external array. And the thing about an external array is I need the ability to map a volume to a host. So in that case, I need to be able to implement fabrics so I can have endpoints. An endpoint lives in a fabric, and an endpoint represents an iSCSI initiator, a fiber channel initiator, RDMA. It represents some method of getting to that storage. And in fact, you'll see there's something called connections where I can actually map a volume to a host. So in the old SCSI world, you'd think of this as the SCSI initiator target nexus. That's what connections is. But connection lives under fabric because it's a term that doesn't necessarily need to live inside the array itself. It lives in, it's a theoretical concept that lives in the fabric. Is this making sense? Any questions so far?
Or it's, Can you back one more time?
So if I've got an external array that needs to have mapping so I can map a specific host to a specific array volume, I would define fabrics. Now, this implementation under service route, he would have storage where he'd put all of his inwardly facing stuff. But he'd also have a fabric folder, and that fabric folder would contain all the endpoints that you want to register with that storage array. And those endpoints could then be mapped. Now fabric though is different because fabric, while the mappings, the connections are configured on the array, you also could implement a switch using this model, and we're trying to add switching in the future. When you do switching, zoning would be under the fabrics. So there's different things. If you want to, and again, the model is designed to be extensible.
Is fabrics part of Swordfish or is Redfish?
No, fabrics does not exist normally in the Redfish model directly because Redfish is for servers. It doesn't handle external mounting. If you want to go external mounting, you're going to go with Swordfish because then you're going to add fabrics. And in fact, if you're doing a PCI RAID controller inside of a server and you're not sharing that, you just want to give that right to the host, you would implement it under storage, but you would never need a fabrics. If, on the other hand, you want to be able to map that initiator group to that volume and be able to see it from outside in the real world across a fabric, That's how you do it.
We talked about the snap, the storage always snap in the first and it has the fabric as well. Is that model compatible with each other? I mean, is that the same fabric
technique? What do you mean? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Yes. Yes.
So is that model is the same?
Model's the same. Because when you're talking to an array, when you talk to an array and say, I want to talk about this fabric that happens to have this an endpoint, and you go to the Ethernet switch, you should be looking at a similar fabric. Right. And a connection on a fabric, if I'm talking to an Ethernet switch, might be the zoning to connect an array to a host. But if I'm talking to the array, the connection may be to connect a host to a volume using LUN masking, as an example. And namespaces is something that throws me for a loop. This is completely different. Because in NVMe, in NVMe OF, you've got a concept called namespaces, which aren't exactly like volumes. They're a different thing entirely. Because each NVMe is its own controller and can be shaved up in different ways. And it presents its own namespace. And each one of those drives, each one of those NVMe devices, is actually going to be its own storage controller, and every time you add a new host to it and create a new namespace, you're creating a new controller. Because controllers in NVMe world are ephemeral. So they can appear, disappear, you can have hundreds of them. So storage controllers for NVMe is used a little differently, although it's the same concept. You could have storage controllers on a simple array, you can have storage controllers in NVMe as well. We also have an opaque array. We have an NVMe front end with a SAS back end. So you can see there's a lot of different options here. We tried to think of all the different options to make this flexible so that you don't run into a place where you don't have an idea where to go. So in here, we may have a shelf that's Ethernet attached, has an Ethernet to SAS bridge of some sort, that then goes out and talks to SAS devices. And those SAS devices may be NVMe devices, they may be NVMe drives, they may be regular drives, who knows? It could be an EBOF. Yes?
So how do you keep those correlated? We were talking about that before you got here. How you keep one, you'd have one, for instance, you'd have one network on the backside, you'd have one endpoint where everything's contained in it. Is that how you move that?
Right. You could do mapping in such a way that only a certain host sees a certain Ethernet port, or you could. There's a lot of different ways to map it, because each controller that pops up could decide what you see and what you don't see based on your initiator, based on who's asking. Because a storage controller, sorry.
That's what you mean by opaque.
Yes. Yep. The storage controller can let you through or can block you. And I can take a drive and shave it up three different ways and hand three different storage controllers to three different servers. Each of them will see its storage controller, but the other storage controllers won't respond to it. So NVMe is the big expansion we've been pushing. We've had a lot of meetings about NVMe to make sure we do this right. And unfortunately, there's a lot of different ways to do NVMe. And we've tried to make sure that the mock-ups show you the most common ways that are out there. So the mock-ups can give you an idea of what's possible, but you can go away from the mock-ups and go directly to the YAML or the JSON to figure out exactly how you want to implement your devices. There's a lot of different ways to skin this cat. Solve this problem. I shouldn't use terms like that because they sometimes don't translate properly. There's a lot of different ways to solve the problem of NVMe. Because we have EBOFs, we have controller-based, we have a lot of different ways to do this. And we want to show you that there's multiple different ways to solve that same problem. but none of it breaks the model. The models continue to operate.
So are you running two Swordfish databases, one inside the other? Is it possible?
Oh, what do you mean?
Let's say we were just talking about it, where you have a Redfish database for CXL.
Sure.
And then you have a link to that by the Ethernet or by the internet, for instance, to that endpoint.
You theoretically could, as an example, you could have, let's say you have a server and it's Redfish enabled and you're going to run some service on top of it. You could have that service actually be the trap door to get to the Redfish on the baseboard while at the same time adding its own folders to it as well.
Okay. So you're talking about multi-tenancy
and stuff. Yep. Yep. And the other thing is you can actually reference things in the Redfish model because you can say that storage systems, and there's an OData ID where you can reference where it points to. It doesn't have to point to the same system you're on. We do this for replication. So if I have an array, and one of the features I can do is I can say replicate this volume to another array, and the OData ID for the target of that replication is a completely different system on the other side of the world. So you can reference out of the machine you're in as well. So the Redfish specs, you can see that we've been working very hard on them. In fact, we keep updating them. About every 6 months, you're going to see a new version. We've got 1.2.3, 1.2.4, 1.2.5 is being worked on right now. So this is a very vibrant infrastructure right now. And we've got a lot of people working on these calls. So there's a lot of different vendors that are represented on these calls to try and make sure that we can cover things properly. Now, I should note also that there is a conformance testing program available as well. So if you're a member of the SNIA Labs, or the SMI Innovation Lab, and you want to put your piece of hardware in the SNIA Lab or in the Innovation Lab, where other people can hit it or not, you can choose not to. But the point is, you get conformance testing program with that for free. So you can run that thing all day long if you want. And the conformance testing program will help you to avoid straying from the approved documentation. It will check your syntax. It'll check all kinds of things to make sure that you've got a compliant implementation. That's a resource you should definitely be looking at. Is hosting equipment in the SNIA lab, in the SNIA Innovation Lab, and running the CTP on a regular basis. And I built a simulator and put it in there, and it found 300 different things. I spelled OData with a capital O at one point, and it trailed all the way through my code, and I had to fix that in 300 different places. But it caught those kind of things that I wouldn't have thought of. The conformance testing program is very useful for that. Now, these mockups are all available via swordfishmockups.com, and you'll see there's a whole bunch of different mockups in there that you can actually open up, and you can walk down the trees and see how everything's laid out and everything's operating. Or you can open up the Redfish Schema Guide or the Swordfish Schema Guide. Both are available as well, and you could walk through how those are laid out as well. I recommend looking at the Schema Guides instead of the JSON files. If you're comfortable looking at JSON, that's great, but there's a lot of options in the JSON files that you probably won't implement. And the schema guide really puts it into an English language kind of thing. Makes it a lot easier to consume. And again, NVMe functionality. We've got mapped NVMe objects that exist into the Redfish and Swordfish models. We've got subsystems. We've got a controller. And when you build a controller, you have the discovery controller, the admin controller, the IO controller. So these things are ephemeral, but they pop up, and they need to be able to be created automatically. You have namespaces, endurance groups, NVM sets, so you can actually set a three-pack of drives together so that they actually roll together with their endurance groups, and NVMe domains. So there's a lot of things we've added in to try and make this a more reasonable implementation. And again, here's the Redfish and Swordfish and what gets added for NVMe. All the different options. Now, again, you guys are going to get a copy of these decks, are you not? You should be able to download these videos as well. So I can go into the detail in here, but there's a lot of material. And I definitely suggest zooming in and playing around with these models. and common usage, when we say storage, what we really mean is a subsystem. Whether that's a classic array, it's an NVMe EBOF shelf, an NVMe array, whatever it is, storage means subsystem. But storage in a Redfish model could mean PCI RAID controller inside your server. Or could mean a SAS controller, or a SAS HPA. So storage can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. And we're using the words volume and namespace interchangeably. I'm old school. I kind of like using the word LUN, but it's really not as valid anymore. And under chassis, you're going to find all your thermals. You're going to find your power. You're going to find your drives. There's a lot of things under thermal, under chassis that are really good about exposing the real-world intricacies. You can have an array that has 12 shelves and 14 power supplies, and all that can be displayed there, including the redundancy levels of the power supplies, everything in there. Now, scalability is a big concern. The idea here is that when you do RESTful, one of the problems with SMIS was that SMIS was not necessarily scalable. Because once you got into tens of thousands of objects, it fell down because the entire database for SMIS was stateful, which meant you usually had to run a Pegasus server or some other server that actually talked to a captive database. So it was very common for people to implement SMIS as an off-array proxy agent, because you'd need a VM that has usually two or four processors with usually 8 gigs of RAM just to be able to house the SMIS proxy agent. But Swordfish and Redfish are designed to be run on very little hardware and very little state is actually saved. So the idea is that the whole RESTful concept here is that we don't store as much state. Most of these commands are designed to be implemented directly to the hardware, not where you have a database storing this information. If somebody asks for the status of a drive, you don't pull it from your database, you talk to the thing that you look at the drive now and give it back to them.
So in a case of where you want to store that information, though, is that going to start to be an issue?
What would you be storing?
Connections, who's connected to what?
Oh, configuration data.
Yeah,
generally that's stored on the array already because the array's got a database that has that information. But the Redfish Swordfish implementation isn't necessarily the owner of that data, it just queries the data. It's a pass-through thing. Your array is already storing that data. If your array were to go down, Redfish and Swordfish would give you nothing if it was running off array. SMIS, on the other hand, was designed where if the array went down, you still could query that SMIS agent all day long and get all kinds of data about the array because it stored the entire state of that array in the SMIS agent. This, on the other hand, is tell me now what's going on. And to back that up, Redfish is commonly deployed on very low-end processors for, baseboard management control processors, which are, like ILO, DRAC, BMC. Those kind of things are not heavy-duty machines. And they're able to serve up Swordfish and Redfish. Well, they're able to serve up Swordfish without a problem. And Redfish is not much bigger because most of it's the same.
If you are not tracking this information, the transportation should be a bottleneck, right? Because all the MI transfer through the S4C, but you don't track it on the DMC, the transportation over the S4C will be very slow for large storage.
Depending on what you're asking for. If you're asking for how many drives do I have, you could be doing that on your BMC using SCSI enclosure services. You could be using I2C. You could be doing a lot of different things.
The telemetry.
Yeah, but you're also doing REST calls, which are a lot more lightweight than SYNXML. Mm-hmm. So querying a database as opposed to just making the request, sure, it's a little slower. The request is slower, but the end-all result is actually faster. Because the Redfish and Swordfish BMCs respond quickly.
It responds quickly. It depends on how fast you query the device, right?
Yep. Because remember, if you've got an array, the array is keeping status of all its stuff. It's already got the database. It's already got the configuration. It's already got all that stuff. Your Redfish is just a hole into it. It's just a management interface to it. Depends on your BMC. You could, you don't have to. There's no reason to. And the other question is, how often are you running these management commands as opposed to running workload?
It depends on the client, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are you going to be doing 10,000 changes to a machine in every hour? Exactly. The idea is that this is for configuration, monitoring, that kind of thing. It's not necessarily, you're not running workload through this. You're only running management load.
Yeah.
This is your, quote, out-of-band management. And again, we have our logical NVMe OF, our exported logical subsystem. So you asked about this a little while ago, about how to export a external logical subsystem where you've got a master system and then multiple subs. And if you look at the Swordfish mockups.com, there is a lot of sample NVMe instances out there to show you what this thing looks like. I know that looks hairy, but realize that most of that model, chassis, drives, systems, a lot of that model is already defined in Redfish and well-defined and well-used. You're adding things like controllers and storage, but you can see what the relationships are between things. And again, a solid arrow is subordinate, a dotted arrow is referenced. So you have a navigation link to jump from one to the other. It looks complex, it's really not that bad. And for external connectivity, you got your storage collections. And again, under storage, you could have a singleton array there. You could have duals. You could have five different shells, each counting as a singleton with their own models under those. But at the same time, they could share fabrics. So you only have to identify an initiator or an endpoint once. And again, there's a lot of models here, and all of this is out in the documentation. Now, you notice also that we have a partnership with Open Fabric Alliance, so there's places where that ties into them as well. And where that framework lives. And these models show exactly how to do fabric connectivity for an EBOF. Ethernet, bunch of flash, right? And of course, there's a lot more information out there. We try to make sure that the Swordfish mockups out there, the Swordfish forum out there, there's the Redfish and Swordfish standards, there's OFA, the Open Fabric Alliance, and the NVMe specs as well. So we try to make sure all of this is available. And that's the deck. I've actually got no more to add to this. Any questions?
What's the process if I want to get new properties or specs from the NVMe into the Swordfish?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
What is the kind of the process if I want to add new NVMe spec into the current Swordfish? I mean, there's something on the NVMe spec, but I didn't see it on the Swordfish, so how can I add the spec into it?
I'm probably going to have to refer that over to Rochelle at some point. And I'll try and get her in on some of these questions as well.
Another question TCG Trusted Computing Group as part of this
I'm sorry?
The TCG Trusted Computing Group.
No. We do have members in common that we relate to, that we try and keep informed of what we're doing, but they're not joined in that way.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the storage developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit www.storagedeveloper.org.